Curriculum Associates presents Extraordinary Educators with hosts Sari Liberis and Danielle Sullivan. Get ready to hear tips, best practices, and success stories to improve your teaching, leadership, and drive student learning.
We're here for you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Extraordinary Educator Podcast. This is Danielle.
And this is Sari. And this week, we are so excited to share our interview with Peggy Brookins. Peggy is the president and CEO of the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards, and she co-founded the Engineering and Manufacturing Institute of Technology at Forest Hills High School in Oklahoma, Florida, where she was a director and a mathematics instructor and teacher. She also serves as a member of the President's Advisory Commission on Educational Excellence for African Americans, to which she was appointed to by President Barack Obama.
And this conversation, everybody, is such a treat. Peggy is a light bringer in the space of education. She is so inspirational, and it really made Sari and I want to go back into the classroom today.
Absolutely. And not only that, but she just has always stayed true to the same principles which she kind of facilitated her own classroom environment and teaching on, and just really proves that if you do the right thing for your kids, over time, your sphere of impact will just grow bigger and bigger. And really incredible to hear how she's kind of created not only a great school at this point, but also just practices and principles for teachers to follow. So as you head back into the classroom for this school year, we really hope that this conversation is, you find it just as inspiring as we did. So here's our conversation with Peggy.
Well, welcome to the podcast, Peggy. We are so excited to have you here on the Extraordinary Educator Podcast. We would love to start by asking you, just tell us your story.
Thank you for having me, number one. And I'm so excited to be here. My story is long because I'm old. So I started teaching in the 70s, the late 70s. And I'm a mathematics teacher at heart, always have. I've never taught anything else. And I ended up teaching every course of mathematics for high school that there is. But I think, you know, after teaching for so many years, you get antsy and you think about there's a better way to do things. And got together one day sitting at lunch with friends on the back of a napkin and thought about how can we do this differently and better and exciting, and that it would be just joyful for students who would want to jump out of bed every morning and get to school to come to, you know, this kind of school. So we created one. We created an engineering academy, but we didn't do it without a lot of thought. We met with the EDC. We met with the local community college. We met with parents. We met with corporations to say, what are we lacking in this community? And how do we not have a brain drain based on, you know, what students are looking for in their careers? And can they come back home to do that? So that was the reason behind the Engineering Academy. We started that, wrote an RFP to the state in 1993. And since then, so you can imagine there are engineers in every field of engineering all around this country that have gone through our program. And when you talk about things that you do best, those are some of the things that I think I do best is being in a mathematics classroom and teaching from the perspective of the student and how they learn, what they want, how they want to learn, and how current that is connected to the big ideas behind an integrated curriculum. Because I wasn't just teaching them mathematics. We were teaching them perseverance. We were teaching them self-confidence. We were teaching them how what they were learning was connected for the rest of their lives. And it was connected currently to how they write, how they research, what the science is behind that, what is the history behind that, and how do you do that research so you're not recreating a wheel that someone has already created. And it was quite successful for us, obviously. And I have always, always, always been one of those people who ask a lot of questions and loved students who asked a lot of questions. And we got to solve a lot of problems because the community saw what we were doing. And we always brought them in. We always scaffolded what we were learning down to middle and elementary school because we knew those kids would flow to us. And we wanted to have that excitement be constant and not just when you arrived at high school. And so after I retired, I spent 38 years in the same school, believe it or not, doing this work and leading the school at the same time. And I taught in the middle of the day, taught mathematics. And after leaving, I was asked by President Obama to be a part of the White House Commission on Educational Excellence for African Americans. And you do not say no to a president.
No, you don't.
Nor did I want to. And at the same time, in the same day, was asked to be the executive vice president of the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards. So, you know, it's like, wow, who can be this lucky? You know, I get to leave utopia and come to another utopia. The work has been rewarding. It has been hard, but it has been rewarding to know, you know, that you can step up to the next level of leadership and have an even greater impact on teachers and students and just the communities around the country at large without having to pick and choose. But it has been a decision I've never regretted.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Peggy. And you are just such an inspiration, and congrats on all of your success. It's really fascinating to hear kind of how it started, because I think sometimes when people see someone who's as accomplished as you, it just seems like, oh, it's always been this way. Or, well, just knowing how you got there and really how the same principles that you carried as a teacher and then a leader and then where you are now have stayed with you in terms of, you know, engaging the community and ensuring that elementary students are engaged and with a curriculum, you know, that connects all different subject areas. It's just really, really incredible. So thank you so much for sharing that. I'm curious to know from your experience, you know, starting off in the classroom when you did, and I know this is a loaded question, so feel free to dive into specifics or answer just generally, but how has education changed since you started?
I think education has changed tremendously. I think about when I first entered the classroom where everything was dictated from the front office about what you do, when you do it, how you do it. Children sat in rows and people thought if you had great classroom management that people were learning. And I am just the opposite. I want it noisy. I want it messy. I want laughter. I want movement. I want people throwing out ideas, having brainstorming sessions, connecting the work that they're doing in the classroom, outside of the classroom, so they understand the meaning of it. So that's the thing that we got to do, is write curriculum as teachers within this engineering academy. That was every day. Kids could leave school every single day and look around them and see things very differently than they ever saw them before. And that was one of the things we always told them. I don't want you to see what no one else sees. I want you to see what everyone sees, but I want you to see it differently. I want you to see what it's made out of. I want you to see its use. I want you to see how it was created and know that you are creators and not consumers, and that you can do all the work that you see around you. You just need to choose your niche and find that. And that was something that was just totally out of the ordinary at the time we started the school. And now I see, you know, the pieces of technology coming in, because our students left as CAD drafters who were certified as sophomores and juniors could make in 1994, $20 an hour because of what they knew. Mm-hmm. And now you're thinking about kids going to college, but also you can still have a technical skill that is incredibly useful now that will make you a living in this world if that makes you happy. And they have begun to do those things. But I just think we have the ability now to do so much more because we know so much more and what's available. And I just want it to be available to everyone. And that's the thing that's very different now, that everybody doesn't have access. And that divide that's created, and technology can create that divide. Where you live can create that divide. And how much access you have to information creates that divide. And we wanted to make sure our kids were exposed to everything and everyone.
I love everything you just said. And you are speaking the same language of a lot of the things that we share about what could be. I mean, when you said words like messy, laughter, movement, connecting, joy, that just makes my heart sing. So I'm curious. That was what your school created, which is amazing and wonderful. What, in your opinion, could be the next steps or how we can continue to create environments and equitable access for all students moving forward in the realm of education?
I'm going to tell you what did it for me and for my staff is thinking about, you know, when I started teaching, national board certification was not available. It didn't exist. Started teaching in the 70s. National board was formed in 1987. First teacher certified 1994. And, you know, I was doing a good job. My kids were successful the whole bit, but as technology changed and I'm like, oh my God, I got to keep up. I've got to do these things. What can I do different? How can I wow them to come into this room? And when I read the five core propositions of what teachers should know and be able to do, and then connected that to the standards, not only my mathematics standards, but, you know, standards for chemistry and biology and language arts. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is the next level that we should all be doing. And went through the certification. That was a 180 degree turn. And I think of it in ways, you know you have improved yourself, but when you see it in your students, and when other people begin to see it in your students, that's when you know you have jumped up to that next level about who they are, what they do, how they think, how they ask questions, and what their final products are, and how they go about critiquing themselves, that metacognition piece that we want every student to have. And to know there's always something better. And for us as instructors, it was, we wanted to be better than we were the day before and show our students they could be better than they were the day before with joy.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that, Peggy. Before we close out, we're curious what parting wisdom or advice you have for teachers as they head back into the classrooms with their students this fall.
I think this fall, I would have everyone read the five core propositions of what teachers should know and be able to do. I call it dream night reading. It is a short document, but man, does it get you excited about what you do in a classroom every single day. And I want every teacher to know you are doing this work already. And it will give you an affirmation of the work that you're already doing, and it will give you a curiosity about what you can do and an excitement about the possibility of going through the process and leveling up what you do on a daily basis, being very intentional about that work and creating something very different for you and for your students that gets them excited. I mean, I get excited to jump out of bed every morning to go into a classroom to teach. And I know so many teachers do the same thing and are focused in on those students who are right in front of them right now and their needs and how you create lessons based on the feedback you're getting from them, based on the way they learn, and also based on how they interact with each other and their expertise. This learning is two ways every day. I learn something from my students every single day. And I think when we walk into the classroom with what I call, you know, we used to tell our students, we want you to leave here with a level of confidence that borders on arrogance. And to walk into a classroom and know your content and your pedagogy are at that level and that you are ready to meet the day and analyze and reflect on what you do every single day. So the next day you walk into that room, you are as happy about it and joyous about it as you were the first day that you arrived. And every teacher is capable of that, but every teacher needs support from each other, from us as an organization, if they think about going through this process, and we have that, but just us as a profession and how we support each other to walk into that classroom every day and leave in the afternoon just as excited as we were when we jumped out of bed in the morning.
Peggy, you are an inspiration, breath of fresh air, and this conversation has reinvigorated my soul and hope in education. So we just appreciate your time, spending time with us on this podcast. We appreciate all the work you've done, you continue to do to inspire future educators, current educators. And we know the field of education needs a lot of hope and inspiration. So thank you for being a light bringer in this space. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today, but we just appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Peggy. This is it for today's episode of the Extraordinary Educators Podcast. Please leave us a review where you listen to podcasts, as it really helps us reach more educators like you, and make sure you subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at CurriculumAssoc and on Instagram at MyEyeReady. If you have feedback about the podcast, a topic of interest, want to be a guest, or have a question, you can email extraordinaryeducators@cainc.com. This is about you. We're here for you.
So until next time, be you, be true, be extraordinary. The Extraordinary Educators Podcast is produced by Curriculum Associates. Editing by Danielle Sullivan. Social media by @CityHannon. Guest booking by Sari Liberis. Music by Mark Bernstein.
This podcast is copyrighted material and intellectual property of Curriculum Associates. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Curriculum Associ and on Instagram at MyEyeReady, and send your emails to extraordinaryeducators@cainc.com.